That's Revelation chapter 3 from verse 7. The letter to Philadelphia. Write to the angel of the church in Philadelphia. Thus says the Holy One, the true one, the one who has the key of David, who opens and no one will close, and who closes and no one opens. I know your works. Look, I have placed before you an open door that no one can close, because you have but little power. Yet you have kept my word and have not denied my name. Note this, I will make those from the synagogue of Satan, who claim to be Jews and are not, but are lying. I will make them come and bow down at your feet, and they will know that I have loved you. Because you have kept my commands to endure, I will also keep you from the hour of testing that is going to come on the whole world to test those that live on the earth. I am coming soon. Hold on to what you have so that no one takes your crown. The one who conquers, I will make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he will never go out again. I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the new Jerusalem which comes down out of heaven from my God, and my new name. Let anyone who has ears to hear listen to what the Spirit says to the churches. This is the word of the Lord.
Great. Thank you. Well, I join you again. Good to be with you again. Not a great week to be from Leeds, if we're honest, but there we go. Let's pray as we come to God's word. A gracious Father, how we praise you that you are a speaking God, that you are a God who cares about us, that you're a God who loves us, the God who we have a relationship with. Father, we pray that we would hear you and respond to you, that as we hear your word, you might make us more like the Lord Jesus this morning, that we might glorify him. Amen. Well, we're here this morning and we think, is it worth it? Is it worth it? Is it worth the effort? Maybe you're in the middle of a project at work and you're kind of starting to think, this isn't going to be worth it when we get there. Maybe you go on a run and you get partway through and you think, oh, this is just not worth the effort. Maybe you're doing some painting around the home or something and you think, oh, this is really not worth it. Is it going to be worth it when it's finished? But as we come here today as Christians, what about the times when the Christian life just does not seem worth it? When serving God feels like hard work? When living for Jesus seems like hard work? How hard it is to follow God's commands when we know we're going to be marked out as weird, as bigots, as oppressors. Is it worth the effort of keeping going as a Christian? Is it worth it? Or is it worth keeping going as a church? There's all those rotas to fill, aren't there? There's such and such who's such a difficult person and you know you've got to love them. On top of that, there's the way that the church feels so puny. No influence in the media, no influence in government, no influence in wider culture. Is it worth carrying on? Maybe you're here this morning and you've been a Christian for decades. And you look back across your life and you think, was it worth it? Or maybe the other day. Maybe you're a teenager, a young person, and you look forward at your life and you think, is this going to be worth a lifetime of looking like a weirdo? Is it worth it? Look, just a word here, if you're here and you're investigating the Christian faith, you're not certain yet, this is a great week to be here because you too need to know whether it's worth it. We're reading this morning about this church in Philadelphia, a church facing a challenge. Is it worth keeping going? We've seen already they're a church that's worked hard for God. We saw that in verse 8. They're a church that had kept going for Jesus. We see that in verse 10. A church that feels powerless in the face of a hostile world. That's verse 8 again. And a church no doubt tempted to wonder, is it really worth it? Is it worth living the Christian life? Is it worth obeying Jesus' commands when the whole world around seems against us? Well, as we start this, just a reminder about how these letters worked. You've looked at quite a few of these letters now. A reminder, they're letters written to real people in real places. We've got a map. Great. So the arrow there is, that's where Philadelphia is. You can go now. It's a place called Alasahir in Turkey. So it was written to the believers in Alasahir, what was then called Philadelphia. And yet at the same time, these letters have something to say to every church. The message of the risen Lord Jesus to his people. Now we might see that different bits of the letters speak more at different times, but a message to everybody. And we're going to see the message of Jesus through Philadelphia to you and to me. And did you notice as we look through this letter, what a great letter. What a positive letter. This is a church that's doing great things. They're working for God. They're keeping going. Though they feel like they've little power, they are keeping going. And did you see how Jesus loves that? And so we come here this morning. This is a message of encouragement to each one of us to keep going in the Christian life. When I saw that I had this passage, I was chatting with Morris about it last week. This is a great sermon because it's so encouraging. Poor Morris has had letter after letter of warning, and the guest comes along and steals the cheerful one. But in God's providence, that's how it's worked out. So we're going to make the most of that today. And we're going to see this encouragement to keep going. And as we look at it, we're going to see five different reasons why being a Christian is worth it. Why it's worth keeping going. And then we're going to see what they look like a bit in practice. So firstly, keep going because King Jesus has opened the door. That's verses 7 and 8. Keep going because King Jesus has opened the door. Remember, this is the words of Jesus to his church. Look down with me at verses 7 and 8. Thus says the Holy One, the True One, the One who has the key of David, who opens and no one will close, and who closes and no one opens. I know your works. Look, I've placed before you an open door that no one can close. What's Jesus saying? He's saying, keep going because I'm your king and I've got the authority of my kingdom and I open the door to a glorious eternity. I open the door to a glorious eternity. Now, I've got a little picture of this. I looked it up. This apparently is, I think it was number one or number two of the world's most secure doors. Apparently this door weighs 25 tons and it's designed to withstand a blast of 30 megatons from a nuclear weapon. I don't really know what that is, but I think it's quite a lot. It's in a bunker in America from the Cold War. What's the point? When the door is shut, there is no getting it open. When the door is open, there is no getting it shut. And that is the picture that Jesus gives us. Okay, you can flick on from the door. The key of David that we see, that's the key of authority in God's kingdom. That Jesus is the king with the right to rule. And he uses that authority to open up full access to his kingdom. Do you ever feel that the way into God's kingdom just depends on how well you're doing? How will I get to God's new creation? Do I deserve to be there? What if I'm not going to make it? Listen to these verses. Listen to these verses. If you are a Christian this morning, then Jesus has opened the door for you into his blessed eternity. He has opened the door for you and it cannot be shut. And he's got the right to do that. He's the king. And he's got the authority to do that. He holds the key. If you're a Christian, we do not need to fear that heaven might be somehow shut to us, that we won't be able to quite to get there, that other people might stop us going in, that we might not get there because we're too weak. Jesus has opened the door. Keep going. Do not doubt your secure hope. Keep going. Because Jesus has opened the door. Or secondly, keep going because King Jesus loves us. Keep going because King Jesus loves us. That's the climax of verses 8 to 9, isn't it? Read with me again. Because you have little power, you have kept my word and not denied my name. I think this bit goes with the next bit, by the way. Because you have little power, yet you've kept my word and not denied my name. Note this. I will make those from the synagogue of Satan who claim to be Jews and are not, but are lying. I will make them come and bow down at your feet, and they will know that I have loved you. Did you see there the contrast between how they feel and how Jesus views them? They've got little power. That means that, probably like us, they feel their influence is so small. They're small in numbers. They feel not influential in society. Slaves, poor people, shopkeepers. Maybe as they looked around their meeting, just like us, they didn't see any governors. They didn't see any top community leaders. They didn't see many rich landowners. This was a church that felt weak. And how often in the UK we feel that too. Yet do you see the contrast here? The church that feels weak. What is said about them? Jesus, have loved you. I have loved you. And this is the same for us, for you and for me. However powerless we feel, however hard things are, we are the church that Jesus loves. We are the church that Jesus loves, that he gave his own body and blood for. Just think upon that for a moment. If you are a Christian here today, the Lord Jesus gave his life for you. And one day all will know how Jesus loves you. Isn't that worth keeping going? That you are so infinitely precious that the Lord of the universe, Jesus Christ, the Son of God himself, loves you. And a love that will one day be seen by others. Yeah, we feel now often that large parts of the world thinks that we're ridiculous. That if there's a God, he won't love those harsh, those bigoted, those sexist Christians. That seems to be what's going on with this reference to the synagogue of Satan. It's most likely a group of Jewish people scoffing at this small, pathetic church. We're God's people, they say. We've got the prophets, the law of God. We're truly God's. And do you see Jesus' promise? One day, these Jewish people will be compelled to come before the church and to realize that the church, that we are God's treasured possession. That God loves those who honor his Son.
that those who are truly Jews, truly God's people, are those who worship his King, Jesus. And he is the one who loves his people. And a people who claim to speak and to act for God but do not worship King Jesus, one day they will admit, we are those whom Jesus loved. Do you know, I love that description in the Bible. That do you know, when John the Apostle writes about himself in his gospel, he writes, the disciple whom Jesus loved. That's all he thinks of himself. He doesn't put his name. The disciple whom Jesus loved. What a picture of love and intimacy with the Lord Jesus. And that is the picture here. If you are a believer, a member of God's church, however weak you feel, Jesus loves you. You are the disciple that Jesus loves. Keep going. Because Jesus loves us. Well, thirdly then, keep going because Jesus protects us. Keep going because Jesus protects us. That's in verse 10. Look it down with me. Because you've kept my command to endure, I will also keep you from the hour of testing that is going to come on the whole world to test those who live on the earth. I wonder if this description as a church applies to us. A church that has endured. A church that has kept going. You know, I look around the room and I see quite a few older faces. I'm not going to tell you where the cutoff is, but I see quite a few older faces. I see perhaps those who've been believers for years and years. If you put yourself in that older category, then your endurance, your patience, your keeping going. Younger people, I put myself in that category. Younger people, we need to follow you and copy you because you've kept going. And that is the encouragement. Keep going. What's the promise? Being kept from the hour of testing. Being kept from the hour of testing. Now, as you go through the rest of Revelation, you're going to see that loads more. More details of the times of testing and hardship and sorrow that comes upon the earth. But you don't need me to tell you about that, do you? You just look around the world. You look back at your own life to see pain and sickness and sadness. That as Christians we live now amidst times of sorrow. So what do these verses mean then? Does it mean that Christians will never suffer the hardship that those outside the church have? That Christians will never get sick, will never get hungry, will never be sleepless? Well, no, it doesn't, does it? We know that, don't we? That's not what Jesus is saying. What is he saying? He's saying that for true Christians, we will be spiritually protected through the pains of this world. That true Christians will be spiritually protected through the pains of this world. Let me share you something that I've seen in a few different churches. I've not seen loads, but I've seen some. I don't think that I've ever seen someone who I really thought was a Christian fall away because of hardship and suffering. And now that sounds like a big claim. Let me tell you what I mean. I have seen people stop investigating the Christian faith because of hardship and suffering. I have seen people who went to church sometimes stop going because they face suffering or family struggle. I have seen those who I thought were Christians fall away because of temptations. But I don't think that I've seen godly, mature Christians fall away because of suffering.
Now, I don't want you to mishear me. I know that suffering and trials are so incredibly painful. You may be going through this now and you're thinking, well, how on earth do you know? How am I going to keep going? I know that it is a huge test to our faith. How hard to trust in a loving God when you hurt so much. But listen to the promise. God will keep you through the spiritual trials you're facing. They will not swallow you up. That God will keep you through suffering from spiritual catastrophe. That those who truly trust God, He will protect your faith in utmost time of testing. Not by somehow whisking you away from it, but by keeping you through it. And those true believers that I saw, they ultimately kept going. They didn't always know why. They didn't always find out why. And yet they kept going. And so if you are here this morning and you are a Christian in a period of severe trial, take heart from this promise that God will keep you through it. Keep going. Because King Jesus protects us. It's just as an aside, by the way, if you're here and you're investigating the Christian faith and you've got issues with this area of suffering, maybe come and talk to me or to one of the church leaders. Because this is an issue that Christians have reflected on for hundreds of years. There is loads that we can say. The reality of suffering should not stop you investigating the Christian faith. Okay, well, let's get back in. Number four then. Keep going because Jesus is coming back. Keep going because Jesus is coming back. Look at verse 11. I am coming soon. Hold on to what you have so that no one takes your crown. Anyone been down to London to see the crown jewels? Probably a few of you have, haven't they? It's a bit like the door of the safe that I showed you earlier. You go in and there's the most elaborate security there. You go on the kind of travelator. You're not really even allowed to stop anywhere near them. It's the most serious protection because these are some of the most valuable objects that we've got as a nation. This is the orb. Apparently, it was first used in 1661, and it's a symbol of the kind of the authority of the crown around the world. Well, you've got the scepter. You don't often get scepters in normal life, do you? This is the scepter. And that shiny thing at the end, that's the Star of Africa. That's the world's largest diamond. If you're into diamond weighing, it weighs 530 carats. That's a big diamond. Apparently they dug a diamond out of the rock. There was 2,000 carats and they had to break it to make other diamonds. And this was one of them. It was 530 carats. Incredibly valuable. Or the next one. This is the crown of St. Edward. It's a symbol of royal power. It's used at every coronation. You might remember a picture of the Queen wears it when she opens Parliament. Apparently it's 2 kilos of solid gold. You'd notice with that on your head, wouldn't you? And they're just these incredibly valuable items. And so they're guarded incredibly carefully. And what Jesus is talking about, we've seen already in the letter to Smyrna, the crown of life. The crown of life, the wonderful reward of eternal life to look forward to for those trusting in the Lord Jesus. The crown of our faith that keeps us and makes us ready for the return of the Lord Jesus. Because make no mistake, Revelation reminds us that the Lord Jesus is coming back. That He is coming back and He will be victorious over all who oppose Him. Over all who oppose His people. The Lord Jesus is coming back. And He says, hold on to your crown. Do not give up your faith. however tempting it might be, and to have a life free from the struggles and hard work of being a Christian. He says, keep going. Hang on to your faith like someone guarding the royal crown jewels. Make every effort that it is not snatched away from you. Keep going, because Jesus is coming back. Keep going, because Jesus is coming back. Well, fifthly then, keep going, because Jesus secures us. Keep going, because Jesus secures us. Look with me at verse 12. The one who conquers, I will make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he will never go out again. I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God, and my new name. Well, you're going to go through Revelation, aren't you? And you're going to see a lot of this language of conquering, or you might see overcoming. If you have that thing where you think, oh, what's Revelation all about? There it is in one word, conquering. What does it mean? Well, it doesn't mean that we conquer people by force. It's not even talking about conquering people by force of argument. What it means is keeping going as Christians in the face of hostility and humiliation and resistance. That we conquer those things that would destroy our faith. And it means that we keep going as Christians in the face of the temptations of a life without God. That we keep going and setting our hearts on God when what we really want to delight in is a nice car, a nice house, or a nice job. To conquer is to keep going as a Christian when big parts of us want what everybody else has. It is to keep going. And what is the reminder in this verse? It is to keep going because Jesus secures us. Because it's like this, you see, to keep going is bang, to mark us out as belonging to Jesus, to put up a flag of the Lord Jesus in our life, to pull on a shirt that says the Lord Jesus, to carry a banner that says the Lord Jesus, that marks us out as his. Do you remember that wonderful promise in the Old Testament? I will be their God, and they will be my people. An eternal, beautiful, loving relationship with God, our Creator. That we are his. That we are loved. That we are protected and guarded and carried and cared for. That God lives amongst us by his Spirit. Let me show you a picture. So when I was working in the buildings industry, we did some work in this mill building. Because it's a mill building, they had all these columns because you designed for really heavy loads. And it had basically hundreds of cast iron columns in the bottom of this building. And let me show you the next picture. I hadn't really meant to take a kind of arty picture. It just happened that way. But I just want you to visualize there the contrast between the solidity of the pillars and the way that my friend James, he's just there 1 minute, gone the next, isn't he? And it is that contrast that those who are pillars in the temple of God are built to last. Those who are pillars in the temple of God are built to last. Just think about the world. Think how much change you've seen, even in your lifetime. It doesn't last, does it? That what looks so threatening is so fleeting. That what is built on Jesus is built to last. To be a pillar in God's temple is to be built to last. Keep going, because Jesus secures us. But look, we've talked a lot about keeping going. We've talked about conquering. We've seen so much about the why. What does it actually look like? Well, it looks like keeping going in the normal Christian life. It's not complicated. It means keeping going through thick and thin, through ups and downs, through the challenges of riches and the challenges of poverty, through seeming earthly blessings and through seeming earthly hardships. It means keep going in the normal Christian life. Do you know, I've found that really hard this week. This week, the cost of serving has been high. And at times, I've just been tempted to think, this is really not worth it. And yet, this passage has really encouraged me. It has encouraged me to keep going. To keep flying the flag of Jesus in your life, no matter what happens. Maybe you'll find yourself shunned by your family. Maybe you'll find yourself looked down on at work, denied promotion because you are a Christian. Keep going. Maybe you'll find yourself humanly really successful. Maybe you'll have loads of money and a big house. Keep going in the normal Christian life. That normal, daily, weekly rhythm of living for Jesus. Living publicly for Him, though we might feel weak. That doesn't necessarily mean a kind of Christian badge or a Christian sticker on your car. You could do that if you want to. But it means being clear that you are a Christian and behaving likewise. Now, I don't know what this looks like in your context. Would the people around you be surprised to find you were a Christian? Would they see what you said? Would they see what you did? And be surprised to find you were a Christian? Because this is what it means to keep going. It means to keep going being visibly Christian. Even if you think that the church in this country is small and struggling and powerless, even if you're a bit embarrassed to be associated with the view that people have of Christians, it means keep going to church. You'll find as you go through the Christian life, there are many things that will try and persuade you to drop out of the church, to make attendance more optional, more sporadic. Maybe it gets in the way of the sports you want to do. Maybe you want to be at your family caravan for the weekend. Maybe your non-Christian, your family who's not Christians, maybe they want you to spend Sunday mornings with them. But it is worth keeping going in God's church. Now look, don't mishear me. I'm not saying you can never go on holiday. I'm not saying you could never go to a family reunion. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying keeping going in a life focused on Jesus means a life focused on His people. Keep going, meeting together. It means keep going in the daily patterns of grace, the daily Christian walk. To keep going in relating to the Lord Jesus who loves you. To keep going in the pattern of hearing God speak from the Bible, of praying, of serving Him by serving His people. It's not very exciting, is it? It's not the kind of conquering that makes the news headlines. But how are we doing at overcoming the world in these mundane, non-dramatic, and yet utterly crucial ways? And finally, it means keep going, hoping in Jesus. Keep going, hoping in Jesus. That's what Jesus reminds His people of here. This whole letter is a gigantic push forward to the finish line. When everything around us is trying to make us stop. Are we putting our heart and our hope for future happiness and security in the Lord Jesus? How easy to put my heart and my hope in something else. How easy to think, What would make me secure is my kid's school or a new car or going on holiday. They're not bad things, but they cannot bear the weight of our hope. And to hope in them means not keeping going, hoping in the Lord Jesus. I find it really easy to be distracted dreaming about a new bike or holiday coming up. They're not bad things, but the hope that is here is keeping going in hoping in the Lord Jesus, that in him is ultimate security. But look, this passage is an encouragement, isn't it? I bet that as I look around this room, I see a group of men and women who've endured much, who've kept going. I bet I see a group of Christians who have kept going, living for the Lord Jesus in such a different range of life situations, who've kept going, who've endured years of maybe low scale, but ridicule and suffering and apparent weakness. Now, I'm just guessing that, but the Lord Jesus knows that. And because he knows it, he loves it. That the Lord Jesus loves what you've been doing. He promises that you will keep doing it. And he calls you to keep going with him. Because when he returns, it will be the most glorious and wonderful and beautiful reward. To look in the face of the Lord Jesus and hear those words that he speaks. Well done, good and faithful servant. Keep going.